Part 13, Chapter 8. Johnny came out of it. The shock of the crash had knocked him out for a moment. He guessed he was getting tired with the strain and the cold. A jolt like that shouldn't have knocked him out, he thought. Then he found his left knee was bruised from hitting the console. The fingernails of his left hand were bleeding from stubbing on keys, and his forehead ached. He decided it must have been a harder crash than he thought. The magnetic grip brake was on, but peering, he was having a hard time seeing it. He took off his air mask and found that his forehead had been cut on the mask faceplate rim, and the blood was getting in his eyes. He reached back and got the tail end of a mining tarpaulin and staunched the blood and wiped out the faceplate. Now he could see. The landing had been successful. An ancient gag he had found on a cartoon card over at their base occurred to him.
A successful landing is one you can walk away from.
Well, he could walk, he hoped. The ship was slewed. The wind pressure had come off the nose as it went in, but it was still on the tail. The tail was sticking way out of the door, but was pushed over against the side of the doorframe. Was the ship hurt? He looked around inside. The main motor housing and the two right and left balance housings seemed all right. He reached for the door latch to get out, and then something tugged at his memory. Something about the crash. What was it? Ah, something must have exploded in the drone. He dimly recalled hearing a series of explosions. He reached over to the pilot window and touched it, intending to wipe some steam from it. It was hot. Yes, something had exploded in this drone. Well, that was a good sign, maybe. It meant something could break in this place. He looked at the gas canisters, vivid in the plane lights. They looked sound. He saw that they were also armored and that all the cables to them were as well. He looked around through the ship's windows in dismay. This place was as armored inside as outside. What an unpleasant view. Structural rib frames, very deep. Floor plates for loading only, having gaps on both sides of the walkway. Cross braces. Toward the tail, there were a series of holes like a beehive. Ah, additional gas canister spaces. The thing was only about a third full, but enough. Enough to wipe out any place it was going. How much time did he have? He looked at his watch, and it was shattered. There were no clocks in these battle planes. The clocks were all down in the console cabinets and had no faces anyway. Only lapsed time dials on the dash. He realized he wouldn't know when radio silence ended. He tried to compute by sunrise, but he didn't know where he was beyond a few hours short of Scotland. Abruptly, he realized he was maundering. Still a bit dazed? He put the air mask on and made sure it was snug in case a gas canister had cracked in the crash, which he doubted. He checked to see whether Turl's blast gun was still there. Yes, fallen on the floor. He might need it to try to cut cables. He put it in his belt and got out of the plane. The thunder of these motors was deafening. Arctic wind curled in at the door. The night lay like a black pit below them.